Let me go back to 1994 for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's when these events occurred.
Yes.
The ones in Rwanda, the events.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember what you were doing at that time?
I was home. I was home in Cameroon. I was working at the National Assembly then. I was the chief interpreter at the Cameroon National Assembly. And we all saw it on television, you know, the killings on television. I have to say that at that time, I did not quite understand what was happening. We just saw this killing. I remember that there were prayer sessions in churches in Cameroon. You know, they were saying on the radio, you have to pray for Rwanda. You know, killings are happening, occurring there. People are killing others. I did not quite understand what was happening until a Cameroonian was appointed to go to the MINUA. At the time, it was the United Nations mission for Rwanda, peacekeeping mission for Rwanda, by the name of Bojack. He had been our ambassador in Paris and then Minister of Foreign Affairs in Cameroon. So he was appointed there as a special envoy for the UN, along with General Dallaire, the Canadian,
yes,
who was to head the mission military-wise. That's how, you know, we really became interested and knew that there was a conflict between a group called Hutu, another group called Tutsi. Then we received a lot of refugees coming from Rwanda. But in Cameroon, we never knew who was what, who was Hutu, who was Tutsi. We didn't know. We just knew that there was a war going on in Rwanda and people were fleeing Rwanda, leaving Rwanda and going to neighboring countries. We received quite a lot of them, mm-hmm, in Cameroon.
And did you meet any of them or talk to any of them at that time?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
So when you were asked to join the ICTR,
yeah,
a few years later,
yes,
were you surprised, or I mean, what did you think?
I was surprised when I received the offer.
And what did you
think? Then also I was thrilled, you know, to come and work with the UN, but a bit worried because of what I had seen on television. And my entourage was saying, but you're crazy. Did you see what was happening there? How can you decide to go? Especially my husband. He was like, you're not going there because, you know, all the killing, what we saw on television. And I'm like, but you know, people live there. After all, let me go for 2 weeks. Then I will see if it's not what it should be. Then I will come back. So that's basically what we had agreed on. But
okay,
I stayed over and I'm here today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, and when you went there, apparently you felt safe enough. Yes or no?
It was safe, but you know, there was, you know, you feel safe because you know you're guarded. But in the background, you have all these things that have happened and are still happening in town. You hear about killing here and there, you know, that people have been killed, people have been attacked. But you feel safe because you know that you have your radio and you can call anybody at any time and they'll come and pick you up because you're from the UN. You have this security, quote unquote, more or less around you. But there's something in the air that make you not to feel that safe.
Mm-hmm.
And even today, whenever I go to Kigali, I still feel there's something. I don't feel too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put a finger on it. I can't put a name on it, but it's in the air.
Mm. But you decided to stay, nevertheless.
I decided to stay because I liked what I was doing, and I was comfortable.
Mm.
And it was difficult at the time, but some people had to stay behind to do the job. So I guess most people stayed because they liked the place, because they liked the job, or they liked the money as well, because it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's well paid, we have to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.